Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz every Wednesday at 4. Our Odyssey Sports NFL insider Brian Baldinger joins us. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. Baldy, how are we feeling?
I feel great. I mean, it's a beautiful summery day. It's midweek. We turn the page to week 8. I'm in good shape, ready to roll.
So, Baldy, Jalen Hurts throws the ball 14 times. Saquon goes off for 170-some yards. Nick Sirianni on this very radio station said, we are a running team. What did you see out of the Eagles' offense on Sunday? And do you think that that sort of we're a running team thing is sustainable?
Well, I mean, it's week to week. That's what the league is. And so, you know, if you want to stop the run, you can stop the run. You might give up a bunch. You know, A.J. Brown got, you know, Nick McCloud out there one-on-one with no safety help. And, you know, they went right by him for a 41-yard touchdown. So if you want to stop it, you can. You're going to leave yourself vulnerable on the back end. I'm sure Cincinnati will do something to stop Saquon this week. They're a better tackling team than the Giants are. But regardless, I mean, the run was working. They got off to another slow start. But, you know, once the big runs started happening, Gainwell was really good. They blocked really well up front. Even Fred Johnson, you know, out there left tackle did just fine. So, if they're a running team, that's fine. A lot of teams are. Kansas City runs it more than they throw it right now. Buffalo, you know, runs it more than they throw it. Pittsburgh runs it more than they throw it. There seems to be a trend in this league right now.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Baldy. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up those examples because I would have asked this question. Other than Baltimore, like Baltimore, I know they run the football, so that's like their identity. Even Detroit runs it a little more than people think they run the football. Yep. You think that's where, like, sort of where we're going in the league? You know, these trends, they come and go. Is it swinging back towards running the football?
Well, a couple things, Ike. One, you know, teams are, you know, really putting their safeties back. You got to kind of run them out of cover, too.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to do that. But Minnesota will play cover 3. Like, I mean, 3 deep safeties, you know, and you got to run them out of that, you know, if they're going to play like that and not give you anything over the top. That's number one. And number two, you know, the quarterback play around the league, outside of Lamar, maybe Joe Burrow on most Sundays, maybe Josh Allen, the quarterback play isn't really very good in this league. And so, you know, Patrick Mahomes, their team's undefeated. He's not playing well. He's the 22nd-ranked quarterback in this league right now. Quarterbacks are struggling, Ike, and it's kind of a league-wide thing. And so if you're struggling, like, you know Andy as well as anybody. I mean, he's never been a guy that's going to run it more than he throws it, ever.
Nope.
But he is this year, and they're good, pretty good at it. Did a good San Francisco team doing it. So I think that's a combination of things right now. But the good teams, the teams are winning records. They're turning it over less. They're running it more. That's what happened to Buffalo last year when they turned things around. They stopped turning the ball over. They leaned on the run and the quarterback running as well. And, you know, it turned out good for them in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's – I'm just so shocked that, you know, when free agency hit last year and running backs in recent memory usually aren't the first guys to go in free agency. And Saquon was one of the first guys off the board. And then you see what Derrick Henry is doing in Baltimore.
Yep. Yep.
I'm just like, man, you got these older guys, these running backs, they still have a lot of tread on the tire. And I'm watching Derrick Henry Monday night. I'm like, my goodness, this dude has turned back. He's turned back the hands of time with the way he's looking running the football.
Well, there's a couple things. One, I mean, you know, paired with, you know, with Lamar, I mean, that's pretty special. And, you know, Baltimore basically restocks offensive lines the way Walmart starts, you know, restock shelves. So they got their guys up there now. They replaced 3 starters. You know, they have a commitment to it. All these teams that you're talking about, Detroit, you know, Baltimore, like there's a commitment to the run. You know, I talked to the center for the Chiefs on Sunday, Creed Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you guys look like a pretty good power running football team. He just smiled. He was like, more power to us, man. That's what we like to do.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I mean, look, if you're behind in games, you got to throw it. You know, if you're – so you got to throw it to catch up. You know, the Jets stink right now because they can't run the football. You know, but if they ever do decide that this is going to be the best way to win games and they get better at it, you watch what happens to that team. They'll start running it 30 times a game with two good backs, and he might turn things around a little bit.
Baldy, so Jalen Hurts, our quarterback in this whole scenario, has certainly been less risk averse the last couple of weeks. Has not turned the ball over at all. Hasn't even just gotten lucky, and you know somebody dropped an interception. I don't know of any turnover worthy plays. Where do you see him in his development right now, and how he's playing?
I like to see him maybe see things quicker before the snap. You know, like quicker decisions on where to go with the ball based on coverage, based on front. Like to see him get the ball out quicker. I think we all would. You know, I mean, that's kind of where it's at right now. The teams that are throwing the ball well, like the ball comes out fast. I mean, Jared Goff has missed 10 passes total in the last three games. You know, like the ball comes out fast. Now, some of it is the design of the offense, but some of it, he sees things very clearly. And, you know, when you see it fast, I don't know, you get into a quicker rhythm, you're set, you're hitting your back foot, you're hitching, you're throwing. And that's what it looks like with Jared Goff right now. You know, and so I just think holding the ball and waiting for things is not a good plan in this league right now. There's just the pass rushes, the blitzes, you go see Brian Flores of Minnesota, you see some of these teams that can come after you. Like, it's not a good formula to hold the ball right now.
So when he is holding it, like what is, I suppose there's a number of different things that could make him hold the but not get the ball out as quickly as he needs to. Is that something you can identify by watching as to why he's not? Or how do you identify why that's happening?
Well, I mean, look, they had two games where AJ and Devontae wasn't in there. They had three games where AJ didn't play. I mean, you know, those guys make a difference. I mean, you already seen they already cut Paris Campbell. Like Jahan Dotson's the next guy to go. I mean, these guys aren't getting open. So I don't know exactly what he's supposed to do if he doesn't see, you know, any separation at all. You know, like typically guys, like even like say take like a beast like AJ, like you can have a corner, you know, that can like Cam Taylor Britt this weekend. He can run with AJ, but he can't stay with him at the top of the route. Mm-hmm. When he puts his foot in the ground and separates, there's 3 yard cushion right there. Like he wins his one on ones. So you know, and Devontae's got the speed to do the same type thing. So, you know, you want the quarterback wants to have some level of confidence that when he throws it, there's not going to be a corner draped all over your receiver. So I think some of that is that. So I think getting AJ back helps. I think, you know, he threw a couple passes on timing the other day where it's just a 16-yard comeback. You know, and it looked good. Like, I think they could get to more timing-type routes like that with two guys that can beat man coverage.
Yeah. When we look at this defense, Baldy, the last couple of weeks, certainly has been impressive. Some people would question the competition, but you don't give up a touchdown for two straight weeks. I forget. We had the stat where I don't think that's happened in the last couple of years where a team hasn't given up a touchdown in consecutive weeks. What are you seeing with this defense that you like, and is it something that we can take to Cincinnati and have confidence in? Obviously, it's going to be a bigger test this week, but do you like what you're seeing from the defense?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing faster. The linebackers have been very good. They settled on N'Kobe and Zach, and that's a good tandem right there. You know, I said weeks ago that they got to put Bryce Huff in a four-point stance and let him just be a racer. Like, he's not a linebacker, so stop trying to play him at linebacker, you know? And so that's helped. Mm-hmm. Nolan woke up. Like, you know, he affected things. Now, they had a couple of pigeons out there at left tackle for the Giants. I mean, they beat those guys. They should. And, you know, these guys from Cincinnati are huge. Orlando Brown, Amelius Mims out there, like, they're huge, but they can definitely get beat off the snap. And so, and Jalen is, you know, alive and well, and Milton's playing good, so the front played really well the last 2 weeks, and they're getting and affecting the quarterback. What they need to do, Zach, all right, I'm sorry, was thinking about a player from the Bengals. What they need to do, honestly, is start taking the ball away. That's the next
thing.
They're getting to the quarterback. They got two takeaways. It's just not good enough. You're not going to win playoff games if you're not taking the ball away. You're not going to dominate teams that you should dominate, like the Giants last week, if you're not taking the ball away. So whether it's knocking it loose or getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands, I think just 2 years ago, you know, like Hassan had like 7 forced fumbles. You know, like they got to get the ball on the ground. They got to start getting their hands on the ball. Like they got to start seeing a little faster. I know they got a couple rookies out there, but like if you're looking for, okay, what's the development? What do we need? Like Vic Fangio in two different places now, like, he's led the league in takeaways.
Yeah.
San Francisco, you know, and in Chicago. He led the league in takeaways. I'm sure he's preaching it all the time. So, to me, that's the next step.
Brian Baldinger with us. He's joins us every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So the Bengals are, for somebody that doesn't watch them a lot, are sort of, it seemed like a hard team to figure out how good they actually are. You know, where would you put the Eagles' chances of going into Cincinnati and winning? And what do you think the formula is for them on Sunday?
Well, they had a stretch there where they literally, like, they were playing Cincinnati in week two. They were down to two defensive tackles. So they're playing like ends of tackle, and it went on for a while. But they've got Miles Murphy back. They got Sheldon Rankins back. They got B.J. Hill back. They actually have bodies now. Trey Hendrickson is playing at another Pro Bowl level. He's a hell of a player. Like, Fred Johnson's going to have his hands full out there. But Lou Anarumo is a guy now. You got to do your homework. This guy's a good coordinator. He mixes up his fronts. When you look at Jermaine Pratt and you look at Logan Wilson, they played literally every snap together for the last 4 years. They're a very good tandem of linebackers. And Von Bell coming back improves the safety position. Like, they're better than they look. And honestly, Joe Burrow is just an assassin. Like, if you let that guy get hot, like, that guy is as good as anybody that plays the game today. Like, he's very good. Now, he's been pretty mild. Last week, they only scored two touchdowns against Cleveland. The week before, it was literally at 10 points late in the fourth quarter against the Giants, and one of them was a 48-yard touchdown run by Burrow. So they didn't throw a touchdown against the Giants. So, like, they've been a little cool the last 2 weeks, but I saw them against Baltimore where they put up 38 and they should have won the game. When they put up, I don't know, 28 against Kansas City, they should have won. So they can score, and they got three beasts out there at wide receiver that are all good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Well, that sounds scary then.
No, it's not scary. It's like, this is what you need. You need a good opponent.
Yeah,
you
know, it's
find
true.
Find out where you're at. If you go to Cincinnati and beat this team, like, you can feel pretty good about yourself coming back home and saying, all right, we've turned the corner. We've fixed some of our ails. Like, you know, this should give the whole team confidence to go into Cincinnati. That's a jungle now. That place is loud. It's a good crowd. It'll be sold out big time. Like, they won two in a row. They feel like they've turned the corner. It's a great matchup on Sunday.
All right, Baldy. Well, we appreciate your time. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, brother.
Enjoy it, man.
There he is. Yep. Brian Baldinger is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. All insider calls are. You can listen to the Best Football Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And once again with Hellman's Real Mayonnaise, Mayo Game Day, be delicious.
That's right.
Yes. So before we get to the calls on Embiid, there's just something I'd like to bring to both of your attentions.
Okay. Super.
So at the end of the show yesterday, Buzz was here, Commissioner Buzz, our afternoon show fantasy league commissioner, and he was producing Fritz at Six. And Jack does the show from a separate studio, producer studio, right in front of us. And I walked by the producer studio. Now, we've had some issues with the producer studio, specifically with Jack, because of what he eats. When Jack eats Brussels sprouts, stay away.
Why don't you warn everybody that that's what you've eaten?
He should. He should. You can't. Not only can you not walk into the producer studio, you can't walk anywhere near the producer studio.
It does leak into the hallway.
Yeah, and it's like three paned glass and heavy doors, and you can see it. Let's put it that way.
It's on the walls.
Yeah. Yes.
This is a talent I've had for a long time.
A talent.
Yep.
So I walk by the studio when Buzz is in there, knowing about this problem. And what do I see on the ledge there in front of the board? Buzz got a bowl of refried beans in there.
It's unbelievable.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
There was no burrito. There was no enchilada. There was no tacos. My man had a styrofoam bowl full of refried beans.
And I love refried beans.
But in there?
Well,
on its own?
As a side?
Just by itself?
For dinner? Basically,
yeah.
That's what he's...
I don't know, chili maybe?
Yeah.
Something.
Okay. Psychotic behavior.
Yeah, completely
now,
psychotic
this is a guy
behavior.
Who also drinks soup out of a can.
What?
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, how do you heat the soup up if it's in a can?
Well, you heat it up and then you drink it.
But you put the...
But he puts the can? Like, how does
you can't put the can in the microwave.
You're going to have to consult Buzz on this one. I've got photos of him sipping soup out of a can.
He would have to eat... He would have to take the soup out of the can, heat it up, and put it back in the can. You can't put a can of soup in the microwave. You can't put a can in the microwave.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Does he get a small pot of water?
Yeah.
Open the can and just sit the can in the water.
There is no way he has that sort of engineering to get his soup warmed up.
I gave him too much credit.
Yeah, well, because I think the point of eating it out of the can would be to not have to use
anything else. Yeah, you just want to. But how do you heat the soup up if it's in a can?
Look, or does he just drink it cold?
Well, that's the other thing.
That would be psychotic, too.
That is psychotic.
We are talking about a guy who went to Dollar Dog Night and took home hot dogs and ate them like a week later.
That's true.
So
that's true. And you know how long them hot dogs are sitting in that water?
30 seconds?
No.
No, the hot dogs? No,
yeah.
Well, either that or they're like...
I'm talking about Dollar Dog Night. Them things were sitting there all day, man. You kidding me?
the thing about Buzz, that this is truly... You can eat cold pizza... You can't eat cold soup.
No.
And you can't eat a bowl of refried beans on their own at work if you're in a small room. There's something wrong with that guy.
Yes.
That's the young guys, man.
And last thing.
Tucker was running around here drinking milk and eating chili.
Oh, I remember that.
That was an issue as well. A whole gallon.
Yeah, he would bring in a whole gallon of milk and eat candy, by the way. He'd eat candy and drink milk.
Yeah. Like a 10-year-old.
The thing about Buzz, too, he has a birthday coming up. He ain't that young anymore, right?
Right.
He's in his late 20s. And
is he?
Yes.
He's 26, 27, I believe.
He's going to be 27, I think.
Okay, I didn't know.
So the last thing being, and I promise, I'm sorry if you're listening, if this sounds gross. But this is an urgent situation.
Has to be talked about.
Yeah. Is if you're a guy, is the kind of guy who eats only a bowl of refried beans... The same guy who, when he's going to Dorney Park or whatever, wherever he went.
Yeah, I remember
Six
that.
Flags.
Yeah.
Six Flags.
And you make a giant mistake in your pants and clean yourself off in a public bathroom in the sink.
Bird bath.
Is that the kind of guy, the biggest bird you ever saw, by the way, is that the kind of guy who should be eating a bowl of refried beans at a job where he can't even leave his post for, you know, long stretches at a time?
I think he should be fired immediately.
Yeah.
Now, in his defense, he had chips along with it.
No.
Oh, what type of chips? Fritos?
No, yeah. The
tortilla chips?
Yeah, tortilla chips.
Oh,
yeah.
Tortilla chips.
But tortilla chips with refried beans, there's still got to be other stuff there.
Yeah.
You got to have cheese or something.
Salsa or something.
No, nothing. Just a bowl of beans like a psycho. Something wrong with that kid, man.
Yeah.
We've been over this.
Something very wrong with that
kid. We're learning more and more about Buzz by the day.
The Joel Embiid era, do you want to see it through? Are you ready to throw in the towel? Rob in Overbrook. Rob, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's up, guys? Ike, how you feeling?
What's up, Rob? It's a long time here, brother.
Oh, this is that, Rob?
Yes.
Rob used to give it to me back in the day. Pause.
Oh, come on,
he
man.
Did.
Yes.
Big old pause. But
it's called
did.
A big dose of D.
Yeah. Rob, my favorite feature of Rob is how condescending he always is.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to this call, Rob.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I gave Jack his already.
Okay.
Know,
yeah. I always get educated by Rob.
Okay.
The Phillies laid down like dogs again. You know what? I want to know, Jack, can you get me Rob Thompson's phone number? I want to find out what he's smoking when he says this is a championship team. If it was a championship team, they'd have a championship.
Well, they were close.
You know, so, yeah, stop lying.
3 years ago.
They won 95 games this year.
They were not close to a championship this year, Jack.
Elliot told me the Sixers were close a couple years ago.
Well, the Elliot's a liar, too.
Yeah. All right, well, here, now let's get to you, Spike.
Okay.
Joel Embiid. You're never going to win a championship with that guy here. You can sprint it, spin it any kind of way. The only way you can win a championship if he doesn't play the entire season and only plays in the playoffs. Can we try that next?
Well, that's not the question.
That is the next step, though.
Yeah. The question is, what would you do?
I would have traded him a while back.
But I'm asking about now. So, understood. You would have traded him a while back. Well, you were smarter than everybody else. I got it. We're on the. I understand. It's a fair point. But we're not there now. We're here now. So I guess my question to you is, would you see this through and give it a chance, one final chance, or would you move on? And if you move on, what does that look like?
It looks about as the same to me, because you don't win a championship either way. So what's the difference? You get a few more thrills this way, but I'm not in it for thrills, brother. So what? You get a few more wins. You get to see Joel Embiid play. But at the end of the day, it's about championships, isn't it? That's what I thought it was. I mean, it's not about watching a guy play. So I would move on from him. I would, you know, it's after he quit with Harden that year. I was done. There was no coming back from that. And he quit.
What about last year when he dropped 50 against the Knicks and played decent in game six? Like, that was with Maxey now, doesn't that kind of change things?
Well, you know what? Here's the scenario. This is what's going to happen. Ike, you can quote me on this. Embiid and Paul George are both going to be hurt by the time the playoffs come. That's the way it's going to play out. If you're looking for anything else, you're in the twilight zone.
You know what? The thing, though, is, Rob, it's very
bleak.
It's very easy, and I'm not suggesting you're taking the easy way out here, but it's very easy to say this team's not going to win a championship. It's easy to say that with every team. You could say, because most teams are not going to win the championship. You could have said with the Phillies this year. You could say with the Eagles this year. So I guess what I keep coming back to is, you're like, I'd trade him. But and you're like, well, we'll have a few less thrills. You have a lot less thrills, and you have zero chance of winning a championship, as opposed to, even if it's a miracle chance of Joel Embiid being healthy, that moving on from Embiid means that you're guaranteeing yourself you have enough players to be passable, but not enough players to win a championship. So you're waiting around for a player like Embiid. And I know it's not perfect, but you still haven't told me, like, how that's a better option going the other way.
It's a better option because you'll get something in return, and you'll be lower drafting. Maybe you can draft a player like Anthony Edwards or any one of these other great young players out there, and you build your team around like that.
But you're never going to be that bad. You would have to start over completely. You'd have to get rid of Tyrese Maxey, get rid of Paul George, get rid of Joel Embiid, and just start over.
Nobody's going to take Paul George. You're stuck with him.
Well, you could trade Paul George in a second. You're wrong. You're wrong on that one. But again, you're not going to get – Anthony Edwards was the fourth pick in the draft? You're not getting a top five pick for quite a while unless you luck out with one of those Clippers picks. And again, one of those players is going to take 3-4 years. So it just makes more sense to me to try this.
And like I said earlier, Spike, I mean, if that doesn't happen, then what? So you keep lowering the bar.
I'm not lowering the bar. I'm not.
You know, now we're going to let him play 40, 60 games.
But that's the amount of games he plays anyway.
Games, and next year it's going to be 20 games, and next year it's going to be in the playoffs. He only plays in the playoffs. You just can't keep, you know, the guy's an NBA player. He's making a lot of money. You're out there, Ike, you're an athlete. You're out there to play. You're not out there to sit on your behind and wait for the playoffs or something. You're out there to play. And if this guy is not able to do that, then you get rid of him.
Okay.
What are you sitting around waiting for somebody to – you're trying to get that Kawhi Leonard championship. It doesn't always happen like that.
Well, but it never always happens anyway. It never. There's no way that it always happens away. And this is the final. And give us somebody whose star burned bright and quickly.
How about that Lynn Sanity? Remember that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We already got that answer.
Three
but
times
yes,
already.
Yep. So the people are saying, "Well, Joel Embiid's only going to play 55 or 60 games. This is a joke." He always plays 55 or 60 games. Mm-hmm. The difference is. In this high wire act that they are trying is by planning to only play that number of games. He's going to miss games due to planned absences as opposed to being hurt. He's going to play. He only played 39 games last year, and they did not plan this way. So this year is 100% worth it. And if this year, if this plan works, they win a championship, not win a championship. If he's healthy in the playoffs, then you have another year to try it again. It's just like worth trying. All right.
I feel you.
Coming up next, we have Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. This is a stacked show. You got Buzz's refried beans, Baldy, Buzz's refried beans, and you have Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. We have a change. Somebody's out, somebody's in. That's coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app